bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
When I was in high school, I used to drink an insane amount of milk. I just thought it was like the best thing ever. And then as I got older and I learned more about health, I realized that I do not think milk does a body good, nor milk products such as cheese. Now, I was never a huge cheese fan. I mean, sure, I'd have pizza as a teen and things like that, but it was never something that I was really drawn to. But I know for some people, it is a real draw and, in fact, an addiction. So I'm thrilled to have Neil D. Barnard, MD, FACC on the program. He's a New York Times bestselling author. He's talking about his latest book, The Cheese Trap, How Breaking a Surprising Addiction Will Help You Lose Weight, Gain Energy, and Get Healthy. Hello, Dr. Barnard. Welcome to the show.
Hi, it's great to be with you today.
It's so nice to have you on. I've had you on my other show, It's Your Health, numerous times, and we always have a great time. I want to jump right into the book. I love in the foreword, I was caught in the cheese trap. I am such a huge fan of Mary Lou Henner. I mean, Taxi was one of my all-time favorite shows going back a ways, and I really liked what she wrote about that and how when she gave up dairy, she writes, everything about me changed. My skin cleared up, my cheeks depuffed, my nose narrowed, my eyes brightened, my body streamlined. Dr. Barnard, when did you realize about this cheese and connection to all these things that can happen in our body that aren't so great?
Well, you know, Mary Lou Henner wrote such a nice foreword for The Cheese Trap, but so many other people have had similar experiences, and it goes sort of like this. They love cheese, they feel like they could never get away from it, then something happens that leads them away from it, that maybe they're just trying skipping it for a while. And suddenly, things that they never thought would happen, happen. The most obvious one is losing weight. The average person who, let's say their diets are exactly the same in every other respect, except they subtract the cheese and dairy. Just that change is, on average, good for about 15 pounds weight loss. But for some reason, for some people, much, much, much more if they have a lot of more weight to lose. But then skin conditions get better, migraines often go away, joint pain goes away. Hormone conditions are one of the real biggies. I'm talking about fertility issues and things that are under investigation now. So all these things were surprises to me, and I felt that people ought to know about that, and that's why I wrote The Cheese Trap.
Well, I'm so glad that you did, because again, I don't have the love of cheese, I was going to say, but my daughter, she's 12, and she has the love of cheese. So I'll get her on occasion some grass-fed organic cheese, because I'd rather her eat that than go to a friend's house or eat it at school. I'm having trouble taking it away altogether, and I'm sure there's other people who are listening who get that either from within themselves or their kids or their spouse or their partner. What do you say to that? Because I know as a child when my mother would take things away that I wanted as a kid, and she was very, she would hide food, and she was so health conscious that it kind of went a little kooky. It made me long for things more. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, I don't. I don't agree.
Oh. This is good. Tell me.
I see what you're saying in the fact that many, many, many parents are in exactly your position, where you have a kid who's hooked on certain foods, and you're not 100% sure if you should say no. But my answer is yes, you should say no, and you should guide her away from that quite as strongly as you would as if she had arrived at your front door with a pack of cigarettes that somebody gave her at school. I would be that strong about it. And let me back up as to why, because she's not going to understand why if you just say, here's why we're not making this change. So there's two things that we need to know. Number one, why make the change? Number two, how to do it in a way that she will love you more for it, rather than get obstinate about it, which is what you're worried about. First of all, why? To state kind of some obvious things for the listeners, cheese comes from milk. Milk comes from cows. The cows have to be pregnant in order to make milk. So the cows are pregnant, and then when they give birth, then the milk starts. And the farmer then impregnates the cows every year through artificial insemination. And a cow's pregnancy is the same length as a human pregnancy, pretty much, about 9 months. 9 months out of every 12, that dairy cow is pregnant, producing estrogen. I'm talking about female sex hormones, especially one called estradiol, that is a match for the estradiol your daughter is going to make when she reaches puberty, except you're feeding it to her at 4, 5, 6, you know, whatever age that the child will be, or a son, for that matter, is getting this. And it gets into the milk, and the amounts are small. And so people say, well, it couldn't be too much of a problem, is it? Just a little bit of female sex hormone for your child or for you. It's in the fatty portion, and when you turn milk into cheese, what happens to the milk fat? It's concentrated as you get rid of the water and the lactose sugar. And so the hormones get more and more concentrated. Researchers in Rochester, New York, went into a men's fertility clinic, and they showed that the more cheese the men ate, the worse their fertility, the lower their sperm counts, basically. So that started people thinking, wait a minute, this is supposed to be just a little bit of estradiol in the cheese. It can't be that much. How much sex hormones are people eating? Well, the answer is the average American eats 35 pounds of cheese every year. That's, that's about between 60 and 65,000 calories worth of cheese every year. So it's a little on my feta, a little on my pizza. Well, let's go back. It's more than a little on the pizza now. And yes, it's pizza every day or two. And it's in the mac and cheese, and it's everywhere and everywhere. So what if you said, well, I'm just going to sprinkle just the tiniest bit of hormone. If somebody came into your house and said, oil, vinegar on your salad, plus a little bit of sex hormone, do you mind? I'm going to feed it to your daughter, only a little, hardly any. She won't even notice. Would you say, I'm sure that's fine? No, the answer is that is not fine. Get out of my house, is what you're going to say. Researchers exactly. looked at women who had breast cancer in the past. Those who consumed the most cheese had a mortality rate about 49% higher than the women who did not. And the concern, the women who consumed little or no dairy. Third set of research came from women who were after the age of menopause. In other words, they're not supposed to be having female sex hormones in their blood anymore. You could see a measurable difference in the dairy consumers. So what we had thought and still believe that it's only a trace, but it appears to be a biologically active trace. So how much of this do I want to feed to my daughter? None. Do I talk to my daughter about estradiol? Not necessarily. But what we can talk about is what the cows go through, and we can talk about better choices and better tastes. And my mother, my own mother in Fargo, North Dakota, back in the 50s or 60s, said, we are not going to have whole milk in this house anymore. We're going to have skim. And we said, ugh. It doesn't even look right. It's kind of blue. It doesn't taste right. She said, this is not up for discussion. I'm your mom. I love you. And this is what we're going to do so that you're going to get used to it. You're going to like it better. And you know what? We thought, thank you you got my back, Mom. You don't want me to get hurt. And we didn't like the taste. But after about 2 weeks, we adapted to the low-fat taste and couldn't drink the high-fat stuff anymore. So you know, you sit down with your kid, and every parent goes through this with cigarettes, with drugs, with other stuff. You know, you're 12. No, you can't have a tattoo. I know you want it. But, you know, when you're 18, you can make that decision. But you're 12. No, sorry. The reason it's hard for parents is that our parents had rules about cigarettes and alcohol that we learned. So those rules we're comfortable with. But when it comes to milk, our parents didn't have that rule. In fact, they had the opposite rule. So we're not comfortable making a new rule. And that's where parents get in trouble. But what we have to do is we educate ourselves. We educate our kids, and then we sit down, we tell them, I love you too much to do this. And I know this can be weird for all of us, so you know what? We're going to do it together. We're doing it as a family. Are you in? And you say, here's the best thing. Say to your kid, you say, if you and I are out at a restaurant, and the waiter says, why don't you have some of this cheese? You say to your daughter, I want you to stop. And then your daughter is never going to cheat in her life. So these are little tricks we use, but it helps the family get together. Now, we've just scratched the surface. All we talked about is the hormone. But there is fat in it, bad fat, that is linked to not just heart disease, but also to Alzheimer's. And it is the biggest reason why kids gain weight. Now, some kids don't gain weight no matter what they eat. But the heavy kids, if you look at it, they're the cheese-eating kids. So anyway, all of those are good reasons to make a change, and our kids, they just love a parent who cares so strongly about the child's health, or about the animals, for that matter, which is a whole other chapter.
Sure.
You know, so that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, it really is. Well, you know, Dr. Barnard, one of the things that concerns me, and I'm sure this must drive you bananas, is you send your kid to school, and they take health class. And what do they learn in health class? They learn about the food groups, and what do they learn about cheese? They learn that is healthy. So my daughter comes home, but she believes me. She said, you know, Mommy, I love health class, but you wouldn't like it because they say that dairy's good. And she said, I try to tell my friends it's not, but they don't believe me. They're like, Lila, why aren't you drinking your milk? How come you didn't have your milk? She said, it's very frustrating. She's very good with the words. So what can we do about that? How are we going to change that dominant paradigm? Because it drives me bananas.
It does. There are a few things we have to do. Number one, you got to have the bang up great brown bag. So in the brown bag goes, a veggie sandwich or something like that, healthy things, and not one, but two little soy milk containers or something like that. So there's one for the child to have. And then when the other kids say, wow, that looks cooler than what I got, there's one that they can share if they want to. And it can be chocolate or vanilla. And it may have a little bit of sugar in it or something like that. Or it may not. But those are always healthier choices. By the way, for people who thought soy milk has hormones, that has kind of filtered into public thought processes. It really doesn't. It turns out that the soy-consuming women have less cancer risk than the women who don't consume soy. So they don't have to have it, but soy milk, almond milk, oat milk, rice milk, those are all better choices. Pack a bag and the child's better off.
Oh, yeah, I definitely like to make her lunch for sure. Now, let's talk about the addictive properties. I know in the book you talk about when you're digesting the cheese, it produces mild opiates called, is this casomorphins?
Yeah, they come from casein, which is the dairy, it's the main protein in milk. And the casein is concentrated when it turns into cheese. And when the casein protein breaks down, it liberates these tiny little, they're called peptide compounds, called casomorphins, casein-derived morphine-like compounds. And they attach to the brain receptors where heroin or morphine or any other opiate would attach to. And they have, the strongest of them has about one-tenth the binding power that pure morphine would have. So they're not as strong, but they're strong enough that we think that this is the reason why people get hooked, not so much on milk, but especially on cheese, which is where they're concentrated.
Oh, I see. And like you mentioned earlier, I mean, with the pizza and the mac and cheese, getting back to kids for a second, that's such a go-to. And we've got to, find something else. And I'd love to talk about it at the end. Let's talk a little bit, too, about what we can do to cut back when we're having that addictive feeling, right? Because it's like giving up anything that's challenging.
Yeah. The good news is there are so many replacements. It's not like quitting smoking where there's nothing that takes its place and you're just tapping your fingers.
Sure.
Cheeses, if you just love cheese, you want something exactly like it, there are vegan cheeses. And the technology has arrived that they are good. Some of them are made from almond milk, and it's just cheese, but instead of being made from cow's milk, it's made from almond milk, so it has no hormones in it. That almond was not pregnant like the cow was. It has effectively no saturated fat, so it has no cholesterol, so it's better in a number of respects. Some of them are made from cashews, and they have that nice kind of creamy mouthfeel. They're not necessarily much lower in calories than cheese, though. They're just hormone-free, and they're healthier in other ways. You can get a little further away on your salad instead of feta, have avocado. You know it's not cheese, but it's tasty, and so you don't care.
Oh, yes.
And then my secret weapon, if I've got kids, all the neighbor kids are over my house, and they on the kitchen table, we put the crust, and they got the tomato sauce. They're kind of painting around the crust. One kid has the green olives, one kid's got the black olives, one kid has the sun-dried tomatoes, and one kid's got the onions, and one kid has this little pot of nutritional yeast, which the other kids say, what is that? It's nutritional yeast. It's bright yellow. Bodybuilders all buy it at health food stores because it has a real cheesy smell. And you just sprinkle it on, and it kind of melts into the sauce, and not a single kid says, where's the cheese? Because it tastes like cheese. Yeah. Yeah. Effectively, no fat.
Idea.
Really delicious. It's lighter, but it's cool. Really works.
Now, I mentioned at the beginning that I do not think that milk or dairy in general does a body good. Why is there still so much misinformation out there in terms of it preventing osteoporosis and all the other stuff they'd say about it?
Well, for one reason, there's a huge industry promoting it, unfortunately.
<Good point. laughs> I was about to say, wait a second, that dairy industry, darn them.
I have to tell you, they're good folks in this industry, but like every other industry, they hire people to promote their stuff. And so they promoted ads saying milk would help you lose weight more than a calorie-restricted diet without milk would cause. And we actually had to go to court to make them, or we went to the Federal Trade Commission to make them stop, and they did stop those advertisements. But then we started looking back, and milk builds strong bones, and we've discovered that you do need calcium. But it doesn't have to be calcium from milk. It doesn't give you any advantage over the green leafy vegetables or the beans or any of the other sources of calcium. So the trick is to just find ways to include healthy plant-based foods in your diet. The cow doesn't make calcium. The cow just eats green leafy vegetables in the form of, for the cow, it's grass. For us, it's kale or collards or broccoli or Brussels sprouts or whatever. That's where the calcium comes from. So you'll get plenty of calcium, and you don't need milk. You're better off without it.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the weight loss as well, because I thought that was really interesting. I remember them touting, if you drink such and such amount of milk a day, you'll lose weight. And then you and I had talked about this, I think, when you were on It's Your Health, about how you had to go to court. And this obviously is not true. And I think that, again, we need to unravel these myths and put the real science out there. And I think it can be very confusing for people.
Oh, you know, I feel your pain. Every five minutes, there is a new press release from some food food company that they want to promote their food for this or for that or the other thing. But, you know, what is real? It is true that milk has calcium. It's true that you need calcium. But only about 30 or 32% of the calcium in milk is even absorbed by the body. The rest never even gets past your digestive tract wall. It just ends up in the toilet, shall we say?
Yes.
Only about 30% is absorbed. If it's broccoli, it's over 50%. Green leafy vegetables in general are over 50% absorption, which is why the cow is eating green leafy vegetables all the time. You need exercise. You do need vitamin D, which comes from the sun on your skin. So those are things that are going to help you. But when you have two slices of cheese, you're getting a lot of calories and a lot of fat. And it's one of the biggest contributors to weight gain, as I mentioned earlier. 60,000 calories or more. That's how much cheese the average American is eating. When you compare it to sugar...
What have you heard from folks? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say sugar consumption is blamed for weight problems, but sugar has been dropping for almost 20 years since bottled water has come in. Sugar is not the reason kids are fat. Now, sugar is not good. Don't get me wrong. Sugar is not healthy. Okay. But the reason kids are fat today is cheese. Because they're eating cheese not just once every 4 months at somebody's birthday. It's their everyday go-to food, 70% fat, very high in sodium, more sodium than potato chips, ounce per ounce, by far. If you look at something like Velveeta or even something like cheddar, it's got more sodium than potato chips. Very, very fattening. Kids don't need it.
Yeah, I agree. No, I think there's so many great alternatives. Well, I know you have some recipes in the book. Talk to us about some of them. And I know that you like to use tofu. I know you have a feta tofu recipe, if I'm remembering correctly?
I'd be honest with you,
Dr. Barnard. My friend borrowed the book. I have hundreds of books. I have a You Can Borrow pile and Don't Borrow pile. So somehow it got in the You Can Borrow pile. So I'm like, darn it, I had it all marked up and everything. So,
well, let me tell you something. The Cheese Trap has terrific recipes. They are done by Drina Burton, B-U-R-T-O-N, as in Richard Burton. Drina Burton she is the world's greatest recipe developer and recipe modifier. So if you want a fettuccine Alfredo that will impress everybody who's over at your house, and you're pouring them a glass of wine, and they are tasting your fettuccine, and they say, this is to die for, you can at some point let them know that there's not a drop of dairy in it. I've got a cheesecake for you that is divine with no cheese in it. You wouldn't believe it. And some of them might be based on cashews. We do use some tofu here and there. We use other plant milks. But they're easy. They taste great. And for a person especially who wants to lose weight or is concerned about heart problems, cholesterol issues, blood pressure, if they've got migraine, if their joints hurt, run. Do not walk. Run to a cheese-free existence. And the Cheese Trap will help you to get out of it, and you are going to be so happy, and your daughter is going to be thrilled too.
I think so too. And isn't that why there's so many girls going into puberty way too early? I'm not to be judgy. Some girl, I remember when I was a kid, and this was in the 70s, I had a friend who was 9, and I don't think they ate tons of cheese and antibiotics. I think some girls do go into puberty early, but isn't it staggering more now with the numbers, and isn't it all the hormones and cheese? I guess
it's been dropping throughout the past century. But let me give you the numbers. In 1909, the average American consumed 3.8 pounds of cheese, less than 4 pounds. Today, it is 35 pounds. So back in 1909, the average girl was not hitting puberty at 9 or 10 or 11 or 12 or 13. over the past 150 years, it's dropped from where it should be, around 17 or 18, to the current of 12 and 11. And now we think it's totally normal. But it's not normal because a child is sexually mature at an age when they are not psychologically ready to raise a baby. Why should their body be able to get pregnant? Only because their hormones are abnormally affected by things in the environment, especially the food they're eating.
Oh, I completely agree. Dr. Barnard, you have such a great personality. You're so much fun to talk with, and there's so much great information in this book. Is there anything else you wanted to add today?
Only that the cheese trap, despite the fact that there's been a little bit of finger wagging in this current show where I'm saying, be careful about this, be careful about that, it's actually also the funnest book that I ever wrote because cheese has a very quirky, goofy, silly side to it. And if you want to know why cheese smells a little bit like dirty feet, I'm going to tell you. And you will be the life of the party. You'll have more stories that you can tell.
Oh, good, good. Tell us. I'm excited. I want to tell. Why does it smell like dirty feet?
Because the very same bacteria, they're called brevibacteria, that are on the human skin, and you wash them off every day. But let's say you're out camping for 3 weeks and nobody was around, so you don't really shower and your socks smell like they're ready to walk away. Brevibacteria are growing between your toes. Those very same bacteria are used by cheesemakers. They paint it all along the outside of your Limburger and whatnot to make them smell like stinky feet because that's what they are. Butyric acid is also made by foods that when you eat foods, the bacteria in your stomach break them up to release something called butyric acid, and vomit has a particular smell. Some people say, gee, Parmesan cheese smells kind of like that. Do you know why? Because the very same bacteria produce the very same compound that makes vomit smell. It's in Parmesan. And if people put that on the package label, nobody would ever shake it on their salad anymore. But yes, there it is. And lastly, have time for just one more?
Oh, sure.
In Sardinia, off the coast of Italy, and also in Corsica, which is the island right next door to it, there is a kind of cheese called pecorino cheese. And it's left out so that flies will land on it. And the flies lay eggs. The eggs hatch into maggots. And the maggots start digesting this cheese and turn it all gooey. And so the local aficionados who want the kind of the Anthony Bourdain experience of something really weird to tell people, they spread this on a cracker, maggots and all. And the maggots jump around like popcorn. And they hold a card under their nose so that the maggots will not hit them in the nose. And they throw the cracker, cheese, and maggots right into their mouth and swallow it down. It's called kazu marsu, meaning rotten cheese. So the cheese trap has all this and more. All your friends will either be delighted or totally turned off. But my hope is that if it turns you away from cheese, then I may have just saved your life.
Oh, Dr. Barnard, you are so much fun. I mean, we always have a good time, but I've never laughed this much. I laugh easily, but you really are cracking me up. The book again, The Cheese Trap, How Breaking a Surprising Addiction Will Help You Lose Weight, Gain Energy, and Get Healthy. Tell us all the ways we can find it and you online.
Oh, thank you. We have a website called thecheesetrap.org. Just very simple, thecheesetrap.org. Our organization is the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. That's PCRM.org. But the best thing you could do is go to Amazon, buy the cheese trap, and when it asks you, who do you want to send it to, type in the name and address of somebody who's got weight issues or migraines, and just type in the message, I love you, I'm going to help you, and send it to them.
Aww.
Or go to your local bookstore, they could use your business too.
Oh, that is lovely. Dr. Barnard, thank you so much for coming on Talk Healthy today. I encourage everyone to get the cheese trap. I also encourage you to go to iTunes and subscribe, rate and review the show. It really makes a big difference. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and stay well.